Okay, you guys, here we go. She Runs Ultras, episode number 218. So I got this DM from a client of mine who was basically like, hey, you really should do an episode on crewing. She's like, I know you did one for pacing, but I really could have used one for crewing for my last race. So I was like, ask and you shall receive. So today we're going to talk about the ins and outs of crewing. Now, if this is the first time that you're hearing this word, like having a crew, let's just talk about what your crew is, who they are, what they do, what they're responsible for. Okay. And before I do that, I just want to sort of say, all of what I'm going to share with you today sort of needs to be run through the filter of your race. So I might say something here that's actually not applicable to your specific race. So make sure you read the rules, you ask the questions, you check the Facebook group or your email, wherever you're getting your race information. Sometimes races have handbooks, but just make sure you understand the rules of the game. Okay. So whether or not you have crew depends on the race. Many 50Ks don't allow you to have crews, partially because you don't really need one for a 50K if they have good aid stations and the ability to have a drop bag. That's my personal opinion, but you know, people might disagree with me, and that's totally fine. Some races will allow crews everywhere, meaning like throughout the race, like you can just access your people as you find them on the course, basically. Other races might limit you to only being able to see you or access you or the runner in certain places, like at specific aid stations or specific stops that might be, I don't know, like accessible by the road. Okay. So just again, know the rules of the game when it comes to your race. Your crew is basically responsible for making sure you have what you need when you need it. That's like the shortest explanation. I was trying to come up with like a very succinct way to describe your crew. And that encompasses a lot of things. Like I said, yeah, they basically have all your stuff and they take it to you when and where you need it. But like, there's a lot that goes into that. Okay. So we'll get into that in a second, but basically they're responsible for your food, your clothes, keeping an eye on you physically, like your feet, but also mentally, like just checking in to see how you're doing, making sure that you're on track to hit your goals by not letting you like dilly dally in the aid stations. Like when you say you're somebody's crew person, there's a lot that goes into it. So just know that ahead of time. And I'm not saying that to like scare anybody from crewing, because I think it is super fun. It's one of my favorite things to do is crew for my friends. But I think you should know what you're getting into before you sign up to do it. Because some people get recruited like unwittingly, and then they show up to crew for their friend, their family member, their acquaintance, and they're like, I had no fucking clue like what I was going to be responsible for. Okay. So just, we'll talk a little bit about that stuff as we go through. Your crew members do not have to be runners. I just want to say that first and foremost. A lot of people think, oh, I don't run, so I can't possibly be a crew member. Some of the best crew members I've had aren't runners. They're just friends and family members who just like know me and do a really good job taking care of me, okay? Your crew can sometimes even pull double duty and pace you as well. Again, if that is allowed during your race. But again, you have to know that it's allowed and you have to plan for it when you are allowed to enter the race course as a pacer, because you can't just do that whenever the hell you want. Okay. Some races you can, some races are much more strict. Okay. As the runner, you can make your crew responsible for whatever you want. Like you can delegate a lot or a little to them. Some runners are super self-sufficient and they want to be responsible for all things themselves. Like maybe they just are a little bit of a control freak, right? And like want to be sure that they do things for themselves so that they're not missed or forgotten. On a side note, tangential to that, the likelihood that things are going to slip through the cracks as you fatigue and you get deep into the miles of your race is pretty sizable. So even if you are someone who considers himself very self-reliant, very self-sufficient, I would recommend that you maybe have one or two crew members just to help keep you, you know, feet on the ground, headed in the right direction, okay? Other people like to delegate all the responsibility to their crew so that they can just focus on putting one foot in front of the other. It's likely you might know which of these two camps you fall into, but I think that by the time we're done going through this episode, if you are unclear, I should have started that sentence with, if you are unclear and you're not sure which camp you're in, who you want as your crew, what you want them to do, by the end of this episode, my goal is to help you figure that out, okay? So I guess the next question, the next logical question is, how many people should you have on your crew? Now, you can have as many as you want, but I will say that the more people you have, the more logistics there are to manage. So just keep that in mind. On the flip side of that, having just one person, depending on the size of the race, the length of the race, the complexity of the logistics, that might be more than one person can handle. Okay. So again, you know, maybe what we should do is like have somebody write in and say, hey, I have an upcoming race. Can you help me map out my crew plan? We could totally do that because there's just way too many possible permutations for me to say, you should definitely do it this way. This is the number of people you should have, so on and so forth. Okay. Cause like, look, maybe you don't have a ton of people in your life that you could ask to crew for you. And you're sort of grasping at straws and you're like, man, I don't know anyone that I would want to put through this. And so, you know, having a small crew might be the way to go. Okay. So again, the logistics are a big thing because there's stuff like, you know, who's going to be where at what time? How are they getting there? Exchanging cell phone numbers? How are they going to communicate back and forth when the runner is arriving or leaving? What if there's no cell phone service? How long does it take to get to the next aid station? Like, do we need to have two crews in separate vehicles in order to meet the runner at the next aid station before they're projected to get there? Okay. So there's lots of stuff to think about when you're developing your crew plan. I would recommend that you have one to two people maximum that are in charge. Okay. If no one is in charge, like say you have a crew of like six people and no one is officially in charge, then it's sort of like a chaotic environment and stuff tends to slip through the cracks. Okay. So, you know, having someone in charge who is not afraid to delegate, who gets along with people and can be, and is like really organized and can sort of see the plan all the way through. And then you can sort of decide from there. If you have one or two people that are really good, you might not need more people than that. But again, it's part of your bigger plan. Like, are those two crew leaders also going to pace for you? Then maybe you want to bring in a couple extra bodies to take the place of that crew leader while they put on their pacer hat and go out on the course with you. Okay. I'm not saying all this to like freak you out. If you're hearing this and you're like, oh my God, there's so many moving parts, not to worry. It will all become evident and clear when you just start sit down and start to map things out. So just sort of think about this and listen to this at like a very high level. And then you can sort of filter down and get into the nitty gritty. Okay. So that brings me to who should actually be on your crew. Now, I thought long and hard about this because I definitely think that there are some people who are cut out to be on your crew, and then there are some people who are just not. I think it's up to you who you have because, you know, you want these people to understand the game plan. They need to be down for the, you know, ride, but they also need to make you feel safe and comfortable. And so I just sort of made some notes about people that you might want to choose. All right. If it were me, I would choose people that take and follow directions very well. All right. People that don't, this is a big one. You're going to laugh, but this is a big one. People that don't get bent out of shape easily or get their feelings hurt easily, because there's a lot of shit that goes down in an ultra. You know, stuff goes sideways. You're hot, you're tired, you're dirty, your feet hurt, you're hungry, you got lost, you're frustrated. Like, you know, stuff happens. And if you're like, you know, in a mood and you say something and someone gets bent out of shape, it's like, ugh, now we got to deal with that. Okay. And you never really mean what you say. At least I don't mean what I say during ultras. I think I told you guys a while back that my husband and I have this sort of unwritten rule that anything I say in the midst of a race doesn't count. And I try to keep it super high positive, super high vibe as much as I can and be like solutions oriented. But there are definitely times where I'm like, fuck this shit. Or what you did wasn't right or something like that. And if the person that you're saying that to is going to get bent out of shape really easily, that's going to create a lot of like trickle down problems. You want to also choose people that are punctual and detail oriented and organized, okay? Because there's going to be a lot of moving parts. You're going to have to be places at specific times. And if you've got that one friend who's like religiously 20 or 30 minutes late, that could mean them missing you at an aid station and you not getting the food, the lights, the clothing that you need. Or if you have to sit around and wait for them, now you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 minutes off your target pace. And that can really mess with you, especially if you're trying to hit a specific time finish or a really tough race cutoff. You want to choose people that don't panic easily or freak out easily either. You want someone who's sort of like calm, cool, and collected. Because again, there's going to be lots of highs and lots of lows. And if at the first sign of adversity, your friend or your family member or your crew person just immediately goes to freak out panic mode, that's not going to be helpful for them. It's definitely not going to be helpful for you. So you want sort of like the cool cats on your crew. The other thing that I have found helpful over the years is that you choose people that have skills either that you don't have or possess skills of the things that you might need during your race, right? So, like a doctor or a nurse. That might be asking a lot, but someone who's maybe a physical therapist or a physical therapy assistant, I said nurse, EMT, massage therapist, having your coach, having someone who's really good at navigation or pacing, like having people on your crew that have skills is really, really good, especially if you suck at that specific skill. Like if you hate taking care of your feet, typically a lot of big races will have someone in the med tent that will help you with that. But if you don't have a med tent, if it's a smaller race and your crew is basically your lifeline, you want to have people that have those specific set of skills, as Liam Neeson says. Okay. You might also benefit from having someone on your crew that has done that specific race before, and or people that have run that distance that you're doing or a longer distance, because there comes a point where, you know, they build up a bank of experience and knowledge that can be helpful for you. And again, I said it at the beginning, none of your crew has to be runners, but obviously it would help you if at least one or some of them were, so that they could understand what you're going through on a more personal level and maybe even help to anticipate your needs before you even know what they are. You also want people that are flexible that can also work as part of a team. Sometimes plans change at the drop of a hat when it comes to pacing and crewing, and your crew, those people that are in your corner, they need to be flexible and responsive. I definitely told the story about pacing for Frank at Tahoe, where there was a point where we thought he wasn't going to make it to a specific aid station before the time cutoff. And Jocelyn and Marty and I decided, we looked at the course, we had the handbook, we looked at the course, we decided that there was a road crossing that wasn't that far from our hotel, our Airbnb basically, that we were going to drive to encounter, like to basically just pop up out of the woods in the middle of nowhere to check in with Frank. And so we made that decision within probably the span of, like, I don't know, 15 minutes. It was me and Jocelyn. And then we had to hunt down Marty because he was down volunteering, doing some stuff to help out the race. And we had to hunt down Marty. Jocelyn and I literally got into the car, had packed up all our stuff, packed up the dogs, headlamps, water, you know, snacks, food, gear, all the stuff. We threw it into the car, and I had been texting and calling Marty, and he didn't answer his phone. Marty won't make this mistake again. And we were literally getting ready to drive out of the parking lot, and then Marty comes up the hill, and I look at him, and I'm like, where have you been? We've been looking for you. And he's like, oh, I was like, you know, I got like really into the stuff we were doing, and then we had dinner, and I was like, well, we got to go. Like, and I explained, we got to go meet Frank. And so he like dumped his stuff in the Airbnb, grabbed a jacket, and we just jumped in the car and drove. And it was going to take us, 20 or 30 minutes to get there. And so, you know, we needed to be quick about it because there was a chance that if Frank stayed on pace, that we would just miss him. And so we needed to be quick about it. So all that to say, you want people that are flexible, that can communicate well, that can work in a team. And I said it at the beginning, but you really want to choose people that aren't afraid to just get down and dirty, right? To just do what needs to be done when it needs to be done, like not questioning it, not hemming and hawing over it, just do the damn thing. And I'm not saying that every single one of your crew members needs to be every single one of these things, right? Like that would be the most epic crew ever. But maybe just pick out the things that are the most important to you. Okay, maybe again, skills that you don't have. Like maybe you aren't punctual or detail oriented or organized, right? You want somebody on your crew that is. Maybe you freak out really easily or panic really easily. So you want someone on your crew that does not, that can sort of keep you in check. Okay, so just start like dreaming up your, you know, your dream team, your dream crew, and start to think about who you'd like to be asking to join you. Okay. Let's transition into some tips that would be helpful, or basically that would help your crew be more successful in supporting you. Again, we could talk about a ton of different scenarios, like what to do, when to do it, but a lot of it is specific to a person and specific to a race. I'm not going to lie to you. Some of those decisions and things that happen, they are decisions that are made on the fly. You want to have a plan and be well organized, but at some points you might have to abandon it in order to make the best possible decision for what's happening in the moment, okay? So let's just get into these five tips. The first one is communicate your goals and objectives. You as the runner, communicate your goals and objectives for the race to your crew, okay? There's a difference between doing a race just for fun and doing it with a specific finishing time in mind. Those are two completely different things. And you need to tell your crew what you're aiming for so that they can help you achieve that goal. So if you're trying to finish in under a specific time, one of the things that your crew can help you do is make sure that your aid station stops, are quick and efficient. I've sort of referenced how I like to think about them like pit stops in like NASCAR, quick and efficient as possible. It's tempting to sit and relax, and that eats up time really quickly. Similarly, if you roll into the aid station without a plan, that can also eat up time while you're like contemplating what you want to eat, whether or not you should change your shoes and socks, if you should use the bathroom, like what should I do, right? So communicating your goals and objectives for the race will help your crew know when they should back off and let you just do your thing, or when they need to be on you, so to speak, like, let's go do this and then this and then this and then this, and that will help you to stay on task and on time. You should also, so this is sort of under this same heading of communication, you should also discuss with your crew what to do if you say that you're done or that you want to quit. Like, what's the protocol? I know I've mentioned in the past that my protocol is always, even if I say I want to quit, don't let me unless I need to be medically tapped or a timeout, meaning I miss a cutoff. All right. So my crew knows that that's the deal. I can bitch and moan and complain and freak out and cry and yell, and I can do all the things. I can be frustrated. I can say pretty much anything, and they'll be like, yeah, fine, whatever. Let's go. Put your shoes on, eat the food, let's go. Because oftentimes, and I've said it before, and whether you believe it or not, it is 1,000% true. If you just keep moving forwards, that mindset will shift, right? If you just keep focusing on the next task and don't allow yourself to spend a lot of time wallowing in that thought or feeling, something's going to change. You're going to move forward. Something good is going to happen. And you're going to be so excited that you didn't tap out in the moment. Like, you should never tap out. This is a completely different aside. I personally don't think you should tap out when you're feeling at your worst, because you can only make that decision when you're at your worst, right? So keep that in mind. Having that discussion ahead of time with your crew is going to be really important. Like, are they supposed to immediately get you off the course when you say you're done? Or is this just your way of expressing how hard it is, right? You just vent, you just get it all out, and then that way it's out of your head and you can keep moving forward and doing what you need to do, all right? We could do a whole podcast episode on that. The next thing, so tip number 2 of 5 is you as the runner asking for what you need. Your crew are not mind readers, so please do not expect them to do that. That is not a skill that they possess. Now, I will say that if you have someone on your crew that is an experienced runner, an experienced ultra runner at that specific race or at that specific distance, there's a little bit of mind reading. It's more like anticipation that is going to happen. But don't rely solely on that. Don't be like, yeah, you'll know what I need. Like, no. For sure I won't. You need to speak up and say what you're thinking or tell someone what you need. A lot of times if you just start processing out loud, you're like, well, I went around the corner and, you know, I rolled my ankle and it's, you know, and you just give them a condensed play-by-play. Don't, you know, spend the next 20 minutes telling them how the last 20 miles went. But if you give them a play-by-play, they can start to get into your state of mind and help you to troubleshoot, right? So if you're not sure what you need, just say that too. Just be like, I don't know what I need. And then oftentimes, you know, many crew members that I've had and have witnessed, you know, in their element crewing someone, that automatically triggers them to be like, well, do you need this or then this? Or then they just start to go down the list and make suggestions. And 100% of the time, something in that list will trigger you to be like, that's it. That's the thing I need. So make sure that you are communicating, asking for what you need. Don't be afraid to speak up or think that you're inconveniencing them by being like, hey, will you get me X, Y, or Z? You know, that's why they're there. They want to be helpful. They want to be your go-to person. So don't, you know, the worst is you've got like 6 crew people and you're doing everything yourself and they're just standing around twiddling their thumbs looking at you. They feel silly. They feel stupid for being there if you're just going to do all the stuff. Okay. You ask them to be there for a reason. Communicate with them, ask for what you need, speak up, and you can have the most amazing crew ever. Okay. All right. Thing number 3 of 5. This is my favorite. I don't know. Maybe it is, but being organized as fuck. Being organized AF, okay? Taking the time to organize your gear, your food, your car, it's going to save you loads of time and confusion during the race for you and for your crew. So that's why I said picking someone who is organized and detail oriented is going to be really helpful because you're going to have to keep shit organized throughout the race or it's going to look like a bomb went off inside your car, your vehicle, whatever it is, inside your tent, whatever. Okay. So having people on your crew that are organized is going to be helpful. But also, you need to be organized in the beginning in order to help them be organized. And part of that is helping your crew get organized with the course route, the maps, the directions, and any other relevant details that they are going to need in order to be successful. If you just have them show up and you don't give them like your own pre-race briefing and the gun goes off and you just head off into the woods and they're like, well, I guess we go to the first aid station. And then the next person's like, where is that? That's a recipe for disaster. Okay. Lots of big races or longer races will have a runner or a crew manual. I would highly recommend that you print at least one of these out. And having a printout is definitely important because, you know, trail races and ultras, they're often in places where cell service is shitty. And if you are relying on the online version, there might come a time when you can't access it and you're going to be shit up a creek. Okay. So have one of those at all time. Being organized also includes having a plan for what you need every time you see your crew. That sort of goes back to what we were just talking about with like communicating, but don't just assume that they know what you're going to need, okay? We could do a whole podcast episode just like this, but my advice would be to sit down with your crew leaders and walk through the race course and the map and think through how long it's going to take you to get from aid station to aid station, what state, both mentally and physically, you're going to be in when you reach the next aid station, what you'll want or need to take with you for the next leg, things like, you know, re-upping your nutrition, your hydration, your warm layers or your cool layers, headlamps, things like that. Okay. Back in episode 165, I had to go look it up because it's been so long. I was like, oh, it's definitely in the early 200s. Nope. It's back in 165 called Never Miss Another Race Cutoff. I talk about building a race estimator. And this is a tool that I've used for a bunch of races. It's a tool that a version of this tool that I built out for my membership group that's going to help you lay out your race start to finish, including all the aid stations, so that you can see the distances between them and make notes of the times you're going to be in and out, as well as what crew members will be there, what they're going to bring, what they're going to help you with, so on and so forth. Okay. You could certainly do this just on a piece of paper or in a Word doc or whatever. But I like this spreadsheet, this Google spreadsheet version, because it's like a one-stop shop. You get to see, you know, the aid station, the distance, the time, you know, the crew member, how much time is left until you time out at that aid station, if there is a time cutoff, and it works out all the math for you so that you're like, okay, for the first leg, I need to run X miles per hour, right? You can sort of work on your pacing as well. All right. So being organized across all fronts is going to help your crew help you, help them help you. Okay. They want to be successful. Set them up for success by being organized. The next thing is make sure that your crew has what they need in order to be comfortable. There is so much focus on you, emphasis on you as the runner and it being your race and making sure that your needs are taken care of. But it's also really, really important and crucial that your crew is taken care of too. They need everything that you need. So food and water, the appropriate clothing, stuff to keep them entertained during their downtime, a place to take a nap. I mean, they need all of this stuff. Otherwise, they're going to be complete zombies and they're not going to be of any use to you. So encourage them to think through what they are going to need and make sure you have space for everyone's stuff in your crew vehicle. I've definitely seen situations before where, you know, the crew members show up and they've got, you know, their bag, but the runner has so much stuff that the crew is like going through their bag, like taking stuff out because they're like, well, we don't have room for this, you know? So make sure that you've got room for everybody's stuff make sure your crew has what they need, and encourage them to, you know, take breaks, bring entertainment. You know, they're not going to be of any use to you if they are dehydrated, if they're super hungry and they haven't slept. That's like a like you're going to be that. So you don't want your crew to be that as well. Keep it positive and solutions focused. This is the fifth thing. And I sort of referenced this at the very beginning. Crewing is tough, you guys. It is tough. I don't want to lie to you and say it's all rainbows and sunshine. It is. There's lots of times when it is so fun, so amazing, but it is tough. There are fast-paced times where there's lots of stress and activity. You know, when you come through the aid station and you're treating it like a pit stop and you're, you know, do this, grab that, have you eaten this, get your shoes on, what's in your pack, give me this. It's like there's lots of stuff going on. And then there's lots of, and then when you leave, it's like whoomp, everything just comes right back down to a halt. There's lots of downtime where nothing happens. There's also times when you're going to be driving to the next aid station, navigating. Maybe you're making a pit stop looking for, I don't know, more gummies or more, you know, bottled water because you need, you know, like you're going to be running errands, so to speak, in between. But also just make sure that, like, try to have everything you need ahead of time and use that strategy sparingly, because who knows if there's going to be a 7-Eleven or some sort of convenience store or grocery store between aid station to the next aid station. Okay. Depending on the length of the race and how many crew you have, everyone is going to be in various states of unraveling. Okay. It's just the nature of the beast. I mean, obviously, even if you take really good care of yourself, you feed yourself, you drink a lot of water, you try and get as much rest as possible, it's still like messing with your normal daily routine, especially if this is a 50 or 100 or a 200 mile race. Your schedule is all out of whack. You're sleeping at odd times of the day. You're probably not getting actual full REM cycles of sleep. And so it's just going to mess with you. So trying to keep every interaction as positive and solutions focused as possible is going to go a long way. And going into the whole process of crewing with the understanding that the unraveling is inevitable is really important. And, you know, ask me how I know. I, as a runner, have always really tried to keep my interactions with my crew as positive and solutions focused as possible, because I only get to see them so many times. They're doing me a huge service. They're helping so much. And if every time I see them, I'm like, fuck this. This is crazy. Can you believe that? I hate this. It's just going to take the whole, not only your experience, but their experience down a notch. And I'm not saying you're doing this for them, but they've come to help you and you want to do everything in your power to make it positive AF, as positive as possible. Okay. And it will really help you from a mental perspective to just always try to be positive and see the positive angle for everything. And even if, you know, things are going sideways, try to find something to be positive about or grateful for, because that will really impact your overall race experience. All right. That's what I have for you guys today. Hopefully that is helpful. Maybe listen to this back, take some notes. Definitely go and check out episode 165, where I talk about the race estimator. And if any of you guys are have a race coming up and you want to talk through your crewing strategy, reach out and let me know. And maybe we'll figure out a way to make that work, because again, there are so many possible permutations for what to do and when, that it's hard to say this is going to be the complete guide to crewing. But I think what I have given you here is going to be sort of like the cheat code to developing a really good, solid race crew that covers the bases, that makes sure you get what you need, and nothing is going to slip through the cracks. I hope that you guys enjoyed that episode. And I got to thinking about it. If you have someone who you are thinking you'd like to have crew for you, definitely send them this episode so that they can start to just like wrap their brain around some of the roles and responsibilities, the attributes, the things that they're going to need to do or be thinking about in order to best support you. And honestly, I'm serious. If you have a race coming up that's sort of like logistically challenging and you're not sure how to set your crew up, reach out to me and let's figure out a way to do sort of like a live crew consult. I don't know. That's what I'm calling it. We'll figure out a crewing plan for you and your upcoming race. Either DM me on social, reach out in the Facebook group, or send me an email, megan@megan-gould.com. And in case you're new here, or if you've missed it, I'm on a mission to help 10,000 women run their first 50K. So it would mean a lot to me if you would rate and review the podcast on your favorite platform. Maybe that's Apple or Spotify or Amazon. That would go a long way to helping more women just like you find the podcast, find me, and all the resources that we offer here. You could also just like share your favorite episode, send it to your friends, post it in your favorite Facebook group. I would really appreciate it. And speaking of Facebook, if you are on Facebook and you're looking for a place to hang out with more like-minded women like you, I want to invite you to join my private Facebook group, Run Your First 50K. So head on over there, search Run Your First 50K under groups, request to join, and just answer those three little questions. One, to help me weed out all of the crazy bots that try and join, but two, it also helps us to get to know you better and to be able to help you. I often take ideas and things that you guys are struggling with and turn them into podcast episodes, turn them into trainings or posts inside that group. So the more information you give me, the more I can help you. And if you'd like to get expert level, amazing coaching from yours truly, okay, I might have oversold that a little bit. But if you would like help from me with your ultra training in 2024, make sure you are on the She Runs Ultras private membership waitlist. I'm going to open up some spots on July 1st, and this is where I give you everything I've got in terms of helping you directly with your training plan, with your gear, with your race estimator, with your crew, your nutrition, your hydration, all the things, right? All the things that go into training for your very first 50K. There's so many benefits to joining the group aside from getting the training plan and the resources. You get all of the time spent with the group, the amazing women that are inside that group. I cannot say enough amazing things about them. They are just kick ass. Like, I don't even know how else to describe them. That little corner of the internet is my favorite place to hang out. So to get on that waitlist, go to SheRunsUltras.com and click Get Notified. Just as a reminder, ladies on the waiting list get first dibs on the available spot. So make sure that you're on that list well before July 1st. And just to give you something else to think about, you want to give yourself ample time to train properly for that race. So if you've got a race that's in, you know, late October, late November, this round starting in July is the one that you want to get in on. The other thing to think about, you guys, is if you have an early 2025 race, you might want to consider July or the next time I open the membership in October so that you will be at least 20 weeks ahead of your race day, okay? I have said this many times. We don't do cramming here. We don't cram our training in to like the last 8 weeks leading up to your race. So just check your calendar, count backwards, give yourself ample time. If that timeline doesn't work, like if you are under the gun, reach out and maybe we can help you with that. All right. I cannot wait to see you inside the membership, you guys. That's all for this episode. Enjoy this beat and I'll see you all soon.